The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went to the district of Tyre. He entered the house and wanted no one to know about it. But he could not escape notice. Soon a woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him. She came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth. And she begged him to drive the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first. It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." She replied and said to him, "Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's scraps." Then he said to her, "For saying this, you may go. The demon has gone out of your daughter." When the woman went home, she found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. The Gospel of the Lord. Some of you go to daily Mass. What an incredible marked contrast between Solomon yesterday and today. When you go home, read the first reading yesterday and read what you just heard. It's like black and white. Maybe no more clear literary contrast that you have than those two readings. It's the same person, but his heart totally transformed almost overnight. Here you have the wisest man in the whole world, by far. He had this Queen of Sheba traveling hundreds of miles, most likely on a camel, bringing him talents of gold, that's huge money, spices, and other gifts. We don't know exactly the questions that she asked Solomon, but he was able to respond to every question that this queen, who was probably pretty intelligent, posed to him. And when she arrived, she had heard that something was really special in the palace of Solomon, but it was 10 times better than she even expected. The palace, the servants, the vestments, the order, the sacrifices, that was the reading yesterday. Now I've got Solomon, it's establishing temples and practicing idolatry to all these foreign gods. Stacy read 4 of them, but it was many more than that. How could that happen? I'd like to tell you a story that illustrates this, and then I'll tell you what the essential message is, at least in my interpretation. Without a doubt, one of the greatest artists in the world is a man named Leonardo da Vinci. Probably some of you, even in your homes, have a painting, at least a replica of the Last Supper, painted by Leonardo da Vinci. You don't have the original, otherwise you would be a multimillionaire, okay? You probably have a good replica of it. I'd like to tell you the origin of that painting. Da Vinci decided that he would choose men at random that would pose for the painting of the Last Supper. So he found a very attractive young man, strong, masculine, dynamic, appealing, and that was Jesus Christ. Then he found someone who looked that he fit the shoes of Peter, and then James, John, and Philip, and Matthew, and James the Less, and Bartholomew, Simon the Zealot, Thomas. And he was able to get 11 of the apostles, but he couldn't seem to find the person that would seem to fit the role of Judas Iscariot. So one day he was walking the streets of Italy, streets of Rome, and he saw a man that was laying in the gutter. Here in LA, one of those homeless guys that we've all seen, laying in the gutter, disheveled hair, pants ripped, bathed in his own vomit, flies descending upon him. What a loathsome spectacle that was. He thought, that guy would be a great person to fit the role of Judas Iscariot. So he draws close and says, Señor, could you please do me a favor? What would you like? So I'm painting the Last Supper, and I've got Jesus, and I've got 11 apostles, but I have not been able to find Judas Iscariot. Could you please fill the role of Judas Iscariot? In that moment, a tear started to trickle down the right cheek of the man. And another tear started to trickle down the other cheek of the man. And Da Vinci says, why are you crying? He said, I'm crying because 3 years ago you asked me to pose for your painting and I was Jesus Christ. So Jesus was transformed into Judas Iscariot. 3 years. I said, look at you this evening. You look pretty comfortable. Pretty comfy, huh? Where are you going to be in 3 years? I don't have the foggiest idea. I can only say, I hope you're still here. Will you be here? I honestly don't know. I can only hope and pray that I'll be here as a priest and that you will still be a believing Catholic. I can only pray with humility, trust, and hope. Tell you one more story and then I'll conclude. Every summer, My family would travel from New York and New Jersey, where I was brought up and raised, to Detroit, Michigan. That's where I was born. So 90% of my relatives still lived in Detroit. So we wanted to visit uncles and aunts and cousins, grandparents. And I'm talking about more than 50 years ago. I guess I'm betraying my age, no? I went to Mass on Sunday, but also my cousins went to Mass. I had a cousin who was about 2 years older than me. We'd play together, have a lot of fun together. And he's the son of my mother's older sister. Right now, I'm a Catholic priest. This older cousin became involved in what you maybe never heard this in California, but it was very strong 40 years ago. It's transcendental meditation. I think Eric has heard about it, probably others never heard of transcendental meditation. But what it is, it's the New Age movement, okay? And he got his doctorate, his PhD in that. So he was probably one of the greatest experts in the country in the Detroit, Michigan area. And to this very day, he's still involved in that. Now, my question is this. Why am I not the guy that has the doctorate in transcendental meditation and he the priest there in Detroit? I don't know. Maybe he was better than I was as a kid. I wasn't perfect as a kid. Why am I a priest now and he's involved in this religious cult? That's really what it is. Honestly, I don't know. I don't know. But I could be there in Detroit disseminating these false ideas about religion. Here I am preaching, trying to preach the fullness of the Catholic truth. So I tell those two stories that I connect with the reading of yesterday and today. Will I persevere to the end? I can only say I hope so. But to say that I'm absolutely sure, I can't even say that. I can only say I hope so. With the help of God's grace and Mary's prayers. How many of you, when you're brought up and raised, you had your brothers and sisters and relatives that would go to church, and they're no longer going to church, and here you are tonight? Is it because there's just an innate goodness in yourself? I don't think so. I think that God has given you very special graces, and you've got to be really humble. You've got to be really humble. And we have to pray for what St. Alphonsus says, the grace of all graces is the grace of final perseverance. Oh boy, I beg that every day. The grace of all graces is final perseverance. To persevere until the end. We were brought up in an age when they promoted literature. Even something as simple as Aesop's Fables, no? Remember them? One of my favorites was the tortoise and the hare. Hare doesn't mean the hair on the head, but rather, because hare, H-A-R-E, would be a rabbit, okay? They had a race. Who won the race? The tortoise or the hare? Hello? Who's faster by nature, the hare or the tortoise? Why did the tortoise win? Because he had a principle and foundation before his eyes. He focused on the goal. Whereas the hare was zigzagging, going right and left, back and forth, up and down, and had no focus as to where he was going. So it was the turtle, the tortoise, that made it safe to his goal. So I'm not going to say that this is the tortoise club of Blessed Sacrament, okay? But let's learn lessons. Let's try to understand these stories that this storyteller is telling you tonight. But look at David. Look at Solomon. The wisest man in the world. Solomon was the wisest man in the world, and he ends up as the biggest fool in the world. And the basic reason why is because he trusted more in himself than he trusted in God. If you read through the readings, he's saying, I built the temple. I. Instead of God. If your vocabulary is the egotistic trinity, me, myself, and I, you're in danger. I call that the egotistic trinity. No, not in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but me, myself, and I. You're in danger. So will we persevere? I hope so. Let's turn to the Blessed Mother. Let's turn to Saint Jerome Emiliani. Let's turn to the new saint that we celebrate today, Saint Baquita, the Sudanese convert. Let's turn to these great saints who persevered, that we ourselves also will be granted the grace of final perseverance, but correspond to that grace. That's the key. The grace is given, but we have to correspond to the grace. So let's beg the full of grace, for the grace of all graces, to die in the state of grace. Amen.